are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war on drugs.
Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everyone. Welcome today. Today we're going to be talking about cryptocurrency versus the idea of abolishing currency. When I was nine, I was an asshole. But when I was a teenager, I saw the second Zeitgeist anti-capitalist or at least anti-money documentary. Sort of like, it was like in the strain of Anonymous type shit. You know, it was like the glamour anti-capitalism, which has led to us selling anti-capitalism, which is where, you know, you get Antifa outfits being sold or, you know, designed Antifa outfits being sold for hundreds of dollars. But either way, glamour anti-capitalism radicalized me and helped me realize how fucked up capitalism is. So I've sworn off currency. But maybe it's not currency itself. Sorry, I had to do that. It was fun. But what I'm thinking is perhaps it's banks or the larger powers that hold control over much of society. And that's what's wrong with money. It's the way they manage the money. So, but as you probably know, hashtag cryptocurrency has been a hot topic lately. Oh, we got our caller coming in. Let's do this. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh my God. Great. You're here. I'm finishing our little intro here, but I'll check in with you in just a minute, but you're on. You can hear me.
Awesome.
Right? All right. So cryptocurrency, it's been like this hot button topic lately with Bitcoin being talked about a lot. And it's got that like anarchist sexy word going on. You know, it's decentralized, which makes me want to give it a little bit of a chance. Makes me want to give it attention. And I've even been thinking about investing in cryptocurrency. And if you've ever talked to me ever, you know that's really weird for me to say. So today I'm here with Jody Coyote. You Jody Coyote in here?
I am Jody Coyote. Hi. I'm also Crypto Coyote as of late because I'm in love with cryptocurrency.
Oh yeah, and you're a comedian too.
I am. I try to be.
And we got Nicole Bienfang. Is that how I pronounce your name, Nicole?
That is correct.
All right. And she is formerly of the Venus Project, the very famous Venus Project, which was in Zeitgeist. And that's where it's like this. How would you describe what it is, Nicole?
Well, I would describe the Venus Project as an organization that endorses the concept of a resource-based economy, which is surrounded around the idea that we should run our world via a supercomputer that inventories the Earth's resources and distributes those resources in a way that is logical and not necessarily emotional, how we currently operate in the world we have right now.
Yeah, it's like super fucking interesting. I don't know. I still feel like I still carry the idea of like what, like of like the idea of a resource-based society. I'm not sure if I believe in like a supercomputer anymore because that's like super futurista to me, you know. But Jody, before we like continue, I want to know like what cryptocurrency even is. Like when I over Christmas, my mother was asking my cousin, what is cryptocurrency? And all these college guys can't even really explain it. They just start talking about like, they sound like they're in like big business with like jargon and everybody just like, what the fuck? And like, that's how I sound when I talk about politics. But still, like, what the fuck is cryptocurrency?
Well, it is a little difficult to explain because it's a newer concept. I mean, it's actually a digital, decentralized and distributed network of transactions made available. So Not only is it, it's all done by computers. It's all on the internet. And, but not only is it decentralized, but it's also distributed. So there's not one single point of management. There's no quote unquote overlord or bank involved. Somebody in the middle that has to determine what's going on with all the extremities. Everybody's connected and everybody is managing the currency at the same time. So as you're creating it, it's also being managed and transactions are being verified on the blockchain.
But how does it even become valuable though? That's what I don't even understand. Like do people start taking different cryptocurrencies and as money for things?
Some people definitely, yeah. Some people and companies are taking cryptocurrencies. Overstock.com, Subway Sandwich Shop was doing it for quite a while. But right now it's mostly a peer-to-peer thing. There are companies who are taking Bitcoin and a lot of the altcoins. But what gives it value is the fact that when you're creating a Bitcoin or when you're creating cryptocurrency, depending on how it's mined, and I say that with air quotes, even though air quotes are ridiculous, it's mined by computers solving a mathematical problem. And a bunch of computers are trying to solve this mathematical problem, and only one will solve the problem. And when they do, they create Bitcoin, and they also get a reward of some Bitcoin. So that gives the miners incentive. Now, the miners are not only creating Bitcoin by solving mathematical problems, but they're also the checks and balances verifying the transactions on the blockchain. So it's an open ledger. Everyone can see what's going on. Nobody can cheat or double spend. And it makes it a little bit more of a even playing field. There's nothing behind the scenes.
So this whole blockchain thing, I don't get it. So is it the kind of thing where like, okay, so say I wanted to mine Bitcoin, mm-hmm. right? Would I put in money to mine it?
No, what you would do, well, you would put in money to get the software to mine it.
Put in money to get the software. And so does it become like almost like gambling where like I'm putting in money and that money helps create the value, which is the cryptocurrency. And then it just keeps building because I get more of it. And then it just more people invest in it, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. It's a bit of a gamble. And especially at this point, Bitcoin has gotten so big and there are so many people mining that sometimes there are huge warehouses of computers all mining Bitcoin, trying to get that winning the formula before anybody else. So it's gone out of the hands of like a person at home mining on their computer to warehouses of large, you know, hubs of computers churning, burning electricity.
And see, that's what I'm afraid of with cryptocurrency. It's like, and that's what I'm afraid of with everything. Because like within capitalism, we just fall into this thing where no matter everything cool or everything that's like, it makes me want to quote School of Rock, everything that's pure or cool, I forget it just gets taken over by these larger groups who already had more to begin with. So I just feel like every time somebody tries to like balance the playing field a little bit with something like cryptocurrency, the people who already had it all have more of it. And I'm curious, Nicole, what do you think about currency in general? What do you think of this whole Bitcoin thing? And yeah.
Well, I have a lot to say about currency in general, and I think I might be even approaching it differently than you would suspect me to even talk about it. I think we all can agree that money impacts every aspect of our existence. It impacts our health and our wellness, the type of work we do, income, education, whether or not we have our basic needs met. But I think what most people fail to realize is that we're co-creating our reality and the world we live in, whether we realize it or not, consciously or unconsciously. And I mentioned on another interview I did on the Sustainable Living podcast that as a society, we never really assessed if the monetary system that we're operating in still works for us. And do we want to accept what was handed to us by, you know, generations gone by? And I think that's actually starting to happen now with the sharing economy. And they're calling this whole system into question. And I'm sure, you know, your listeners that are listening right now have seen in their Facebook feeds that meme that's gone through of like a comic where half of it is a bunch of foreclosures and the other half is people that are homeless. And the statistics that are out there are that there's more homeless people that could actually be in all these foreclosure homes, but because of this barrier we have called money, there's people on the streets when the resource is there. And money distances people from the resources. We don't need money. It's a tool. We need the resources that we've all agreed money, we're able to exchange for money. My stance on that is that the real currency in life is relationships and the level of connection you have with other people. That's what wealth is, solid relationships. And solid relationships can only be created when a person acts with integrity and it's reciprocal, even if it's not an instantaneous reciprocity. One of my favorite quotes by Frank Outlaw, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, is watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. And I think we impact our entire world based off of the thoughts that we have about money. If you actually have a good friend, they would drive you to the airport. You wouldn't need money. But if you don't have people skills and you don't have friends, you pay a taxi cab driver. Or now, as
you keep pressing a button,
economy,
Nicole,
do you get a lift?
Do you keep pressing a button?
No.
Okay, be careful because we keep hearing a beep and it's hard.
Nicole, I have a question though. I love these thoughts. I mean, I'm definitely a person who believes that you create your own reality and that your actions are very important and affect everyone around you. But if the true wealth is relationships and connection with people, how do you get that message to people who do not believe wealth is about relationships? They believe it's about setting themselves apart from the masses and feeling superior and wearing better clothing and being parts of conglomerates or companies or groups that have for years and years benefited by keeping the majority of people in their place in a much lower level financially.
Like they truly believe currency is but based on merit. Or they believe that wealth is based on merit.
Yeah, well, what we're talking about is the 1%. And I have a math disability I've been diagnosed with, but last time I checked, 99 is bigger than 1%. So how do you impact those people? You don't sit down and you have a conversation with them. You don't even deal with them. You start joining together with that 99% and working cooperatively until your actions outmode those of that 1%. That's the problem. We're not working together. We're keeping each other down. We're having all these different isms that keep us separated. Racism, sexism, ageism, ableism.
So I really agree with what you're saying, but at the same time, I feel like the 99% in my head, like that's like a, like, you know, that's like an Occupy thing, right? But I think the issue that I'm seeing is there are a good portion of the 99% right now who agree, or what we would call the 99%, who agree with the 1%. And that's why we got Trump. That's why Donald Trump is the president, and for one reason. There's a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is because there are people who believe in intense capitalism and believe that if you're wealthy, that's based on merit. And that means you worked hard. Do you know what I'm saying? There are a lot of people in the 99% who would not band together for the same reasons that you and I are talking about. Like, how do you think we reach them? Do you think that cryptocurrency is a way to move away from that system? Do you think it's currency itself, or do you think it's capitalism? Or what do you think of that?
Well, I think, again, the focus is on the wrong demographic of people. It's not to focus on those people that don't agree. It's to find the tribe that agrees with you and work together with them on a grassroots level, and then start connecting those groups on a global level. Because I think this election, above all else, has demonstrated that the political system doesn't work. So we need to stop operating from a top-down mentality and start working from a bottom-up mentality.
Nicole,
to change things.
I totally agree with you. But so just in general, how do you incorporate that into your life? What do you do to survive? I'm obviously a cryptocurrency proponent, but I know that there's a lot of doubt and uncertainty around it. But I'm wondering how you yourself are cooperating or not cooperating with the world around you.
I live in a small town, so we have a producer's market that you're able to sell your goods in. And some of the people are farmers and they bring food that they produce. Other people have other wares to sell. So I have a micro boutique. And
hey, Nicole, I'm sorry to cut you off. Is there any way that you could turn down the volume on your phone or something, or speak? Because right now, apparently, we're getting an echo.
I can try.
If not, I don't know. I probably just let's just keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Tom Tenney, who's going to be coming in next for Brooklyn Bandstand, was trying to help us with the sound.
Sure. So that's a community.
Wait, are you listening to it in the background?
No.
All right. Okay. Let's keep going.
So a producer's market is a community oriented, people centric business structure. Uh-huh. And I don't pay rent. They take a percentage of sales of everything that's sold. That's how they make their money as a business. And there's multiple vendors within that store. There's other stores in town that do a similar thing, but they charge rent. Also in my community, people have weekly potlucks. I attend those. Sharing food reduces the cost that you have to spend yourself. So there's different things on a grassroots level people can do to reduce their costs and work together. But you have to find out where the overlap is with each other, you know?
Right.
Are there neighbors that you really trust? Are you willing to get on a family plan, on your cell phone plan with them so you guys can all pay less?
Right. And I'm just wondering, I understand that and I think it's great. And you obviously live in a wonderful giving community. But I feel like the majority of people in the world, especially like, let's say in people who are lower income or who are coming here, you know, from other countries, people who are trying to just stay alive. It feels like right now they're trapped in this system where they will always be held down, and it's hard for them to, I think, break out of the cycle of riding the bus or riding the subway and working 40 to 60 to 80 hours a week, trying to make ends meet, take care of their children, take care of their family. How would you suggest that this happens if you don't live in a small town with a community that has potlucks? How would people in cities find ways to benefit from communal living when it feels like they're just trying to stay above water?
Well, if they don't have it, they need to create it. I think we've lasted long enough in a society where everybody goes, ooh, somebody should do something about this. And I think we're starting to see a new dawn and era happen where people are like, I should do something about this. Where do I start? And we're seeing that with the transition from the Me Too movement to the Time's Up organization that's actually stepping up and doing something about the complaints of all the people that got behind the Me Too movement.
Interesting. I do think it's great. I think that the transitioning part is the part that's work, or that will take some time, or will take different. It will take a lot of education. And I think that if you're in a movement like that, that's great. I think people in cities could definitely benefit from it. I think in the meantime, what is happening with cryptocurrency is that it's kind of it's made itself basically an intermediary between depending solely upon big corporations and banks and things and becoming self-sovereign. So I believe that although Bitcoin is expensive and takes a lot of energy to mine, a lot of other currencies do not. And that's because Bitcoin's proof of work. There are a lot of proof of stake where people where you do not have to use computers and energy to mine. But the wonderful thing about, I think that's great about cryptocurrency is that it eliminates a lot of the fraud. There's not a lot of double spending. Things can be settled quickly. People who work in other countries and have families in developing countries or families in other countries, regardless, can send money back to their families without having huge fees taken out of it. And happens relatively quickly because cryptocurrency is a global currency. So you don't have to deal with euros to dollars or, you know, exchanging across country borders. And I believe that it's a step in the right direction because I feel like as a whole, it's going to be very difficult to take the reins from the people who have tightly held them for years and years and years. And I think even cryptocurrency in itself has been threatening a lot of the major systems, the banking systems, and people who have controlled people with fiat currency.
And also something that I'm thinking about is, Nicole, you were talking about what goes on in your small town and how people, you know, make things cheaper for themselves, but they're still using money, right? Like, I feel like we live in a society right now that does rely on money. And exactly like Jody said, like, what is the transition away from that? Do you think that cryptocurrency could be used on the path towards that on a larger scale? Because right now, most people I know who are living the way you are, it's a very small percentage of people that I know. What do you think?
Well, I definitely think Bitcoin is a stepping stone, but I don't think it's a stepping stone for everybody. I think that it's almost a duplication of the same system that we have, and that ultimately the monetary system is like this sick addiction that we have as a society because we haven't been questioning whether or not we should maintain it. And as such, it needs to have like a Alcohol Anonymous type program where people have steps to like get off of the system.
I agree so hard. We need a Capitalism Anonymous.
Yeah.
I think
and
that,
so
yeah.
Bitcoin could be a step for some. But, you know, it's like telling somebody who smokes cigarettes or drinks beer to use the rubber band method and snap their wrist every time they have a craving. It's not going to work for everybody.
But my question is, Jody, do you think it really is a duplication, though? Because I keep hearing that it's not from different people, and mostly only me and, like, my anarchist people say it's a duplication. Is it even?
I don't believe it is. I mean, I believe it's – yes, I do believe there's still there's still a powerfulness to owning the currency. And yes, it can make people evil if that's what the person is already. I just believe that we're not ready to abolish currency completely from our planet. But I do believe that it's not the same in many ways because it's an open sourced ledger. So basically, as things are happening, things are being inspected by the people using it and creating it. So there's a network in place.
So like
where
anybody can do it. It's not like you have to like convince some rich guy to give you a job with a big paycheck.
No. Well, you can too. If you wanted to look on and say, what did you just buy with Bitcoin last week? I want to see that went through. And you can go on and look and see what I buy. If you know my Bitcoin address, it's not anonymous. I mean, it can be anonymous, but pretty soon if you have a certain pattern or if people figure out that your address is ABC767, they're going to see everything that you've done. They know that that's yours. So, but it's an open source ledger. So you can basically, you can look at all of the transactions that have ever happened and are happening. So it's a way to, I think, open that up to people. It levels the playing field. It's not like a bank is in control of everything and charging you fees and saying whether or not you can, you know, spend certain things or cross borders. I feel like it's a step towards self-sovereignty with your financial, you know, ownership. And I feel like you own your account, you own your Bitcoin, unless you have it on an exchange that's online. It's yours. Nobody can take that from you.
Well, here's my question about that. If you have more money and more computers, you will be more likely to make more, right? Or you could invest in more.
I've never mined a Bitcoin. I've just bought Bitcoin. So I don't mine at all. I wouldn't at this point. I feel like I'm too small in the scheme of the mining world, since people use warehouses full of computers.
That's
now.
What I'm saying. So someone who has more money will be likely to get more.
They could, or you can just buy it. You don't have to buy one whole Bitcoin, by the way. It's like 15 grand right now. You don't have to buy one. You can buy $100 worth or $300 worth or $50 worth. So I think that any cryptocurrency, some are easier to mine than Bitcoin right now. There are alternative coins. There's 1,300, give or take, cryptocurrencies happening right now.
So if you... it's so confusing. The cryptocurrency thing is so confusing. You're like a pioneer. Jody was like telling me before I came in here that how many articles do you read a day about Bitcoin, about cryptocurrency? Right? You have to remember that cryptocurrency and Bitcoin are different things. I think a lot of people don't understand that. There's currencies and then there's Bitcoin, which
Bitcoin
is like
the original cryptocurrency.
Yeah. So how many articles a day do you read?
I try to at least skim through 10 to 15. I have a Google alert for cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. So I read quite a bit about it. Most of my life, I have not been a big financial paradigm lover. I never could relate to money for many of the reasons that Nicole was talking about. I don't believe it's the powers that should be, but it is the powers that have ruled our planet, I think, for a long time. So now that cryptocurrency is here, I feel like I have more of a desire to jump in, to be involved, to see what's going on, to see the possibilities. I think there's so many benefits that regular currency does not have for the planet, for people of a lot of different financial, backgrounds.
So something I want to just make very clear before I move on is, so like, if you invest $300 into Bitcoin, it builds?
It depends.
Depends like the stocks.
It is like stocks, but it's much, much more volatile. I'm not going to lie. And I do like that about the cryptocurrency market. My husband and I heard about it years ago. We didn't do anything. Of course, we were kicking ourselves later, but we did jump in about 8 months ago, and we bought little by little because we didn't have a lot of money. $100 here, $50 there. And now we own a handful of altcoins and a little bit of Bitcoin and Ethereum. And we're very excited. It has gone up quite a bit in value, but it could go down at any time. It's unpredictable, but I believe that the underlying blockchain that holds all of the information of all the transactions that are happening is what all cryptocurrencies are built on. I believe that that technology is going to spread into so many different sectors of our world and be so beneficial for people, from voting to where your food comes from, things that you can trace and everybody can see. It makes it a more honest realm.
So you can see what everybody's doing. So you think it's gonna be more honest. So what I saw, like, in your notes, you have some ways it's gonna impact society. You had some stuff. Maybe I saw it out of the corner of my eye. Like, in what ways do you think that other ways you think Bitcoin will help the world?
I definitely think that it makes it easier, like I was saying earlier, for people from other countries to send money back to their families without having huge fees and huge chunks of that money being, like, a lot of times, even at, when people go to Western Union and stuff, they'll send $50 back home, which is a lot of money to some people, and, $10 fees. So they only get to send $40 back, and they work hard for that. And it's sad. And I think that there are a lot of cryptocurrencies right now, Bitcoin, because it's so big right now, and a lot of people, it's off the hizzy. And it's got higher fees right now. And it's taking a lot longer than it did originally to get transactions across. But there are tons, and when I say tons, I mean a lot of altcoins that you can send from yourself to anybody that has a phone. And even like in Kenya, there was a point where, there more people had access to phones and internet than they do to bank accounts or being able to set up accounts. So it's pretty, it's better for people to be able to get money from somebody sending them some cryptocurrency than trying to go in and set up a bank account when they know nothing about that, and they don't have maybe the proper credentials to set up an account like that. You don't need that with cryptocurrency.
So many IDs. And are you from this country for real? See that? See that? Nicole, what do you think of that? That's the one thing right there that I hadn't thought of before. The fact that it's like an international thing and you don't really need any documentation to be able to set up an account on one of these cryptocurrencies. Like, do you think that helps with like a global transition? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I didn't know that it was being used in those ways until earlier in this discussion she mentioned it. I think that's great, and I think it will help people, in underprivileged areas be able to, support their families and perhaps have more abundance and sustainability than they do with the regular currency. But again, it's that barrier and that thing that has to be a transaction between two people instead of a relationship being built. So in a way, it's a temporary thing, and it always has to rely on that thing as the transaction.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm thinking about is, why do you think money came to be initially? Because whenever I speak about my anti-currency, anti-money thinking, people are like, well, what do you think we would do? Would we just trade? Would it be like the barter system? And I'm actually kind of like, yeah, I kind of like the barter system. But I feel like, Nicole, what you're talking about is something that a lot of people just, they can't even envision it. Like this idea of something that's not based on trade, that's based on relationships, or just based on this idea of like mutual respect for other people in life. Like, I don't think a lot of people are truly on that vibe. Like, some people are to a point. I think that most people just want to take care of their family and friends, or just themselves and their family. And that's like an individualistic thing. And that bothers me sometimes, but it's not wrong. And it's why I have a tendency to think most people are decent people, because I think that's what most people want. But it's just like a lot of people can't envision like a resource-based society where it's like a little, dare I say, communist. I mean, I'm a fucking communist of some kind, but I don't like to use that word anymore because I think it's terrible PR. But like, where everybody has maybe like access to all of the basic resources, and maybe we could have something that's like a little bit like trader currency for maybe like luxuries if need be. But like, I'm just curious, do you think this translates onto a large scale? Because I keep thinking to myself, maybe the problem isn't the communism or the capitalism, it's the large scale. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, that goes back to what I said earlier, is that the vast majority of people that are on this planet and alive today don't realize that communally, no matter where we are in the world, we're co-creating this reality. Every day, every choice we make, whether we spend money or don't spend money, whether we share food or don't share food, we are creating this reality. So what choices are we making, and how is that impacting the rest of the world around us? And I believe that the sharing economy is a stepping stone to a moneyless society.
So what's this sharing economy? Like what you're talking about, like in your small town and stuff?
No. Sharing economy is these businesses you're seeing become like really huge and prevalent right now. We're talking Uber and Lyft and Airbnb, and we're talking about all the city programs that have the shared bicycle program that you can rent. That's the sharing economy.
Okay, I hear you.
That there's these resources that can be shared, but we're still getting money involved.
So what do you think of this? What if we, I don't know if we want to make, so in my opinion, the cryptocurrency sounds better than the regular currency, right? Would you agree based on what you've heard?
Yeah, off of the talking points that she addressed, yeah, definitely. There's quite a few pluses.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking is, what if we had like collective cryptocurrency accounts? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what if like more than one? Like, what if like not an official organization, like an unofficial collective started a cryptocurrency account and used that as a means to support a collective? Like, so the way I know Nicole is because I used to live on these anarchist communes in Virginia. And we went to this conference, and the way a lot of these communities run themselves is by running a cottage industry, and the money of that from that supplies the means for sort of like an internal communist society. It's like an internal communist thing where everybody has, but there's no bosses. So it's not like status communism. I am not a Stalin apologist. Fuck Stalin. Fuck tankies. Fuck you with your hammer and sickle apologist nonsense. But what I'm saying is the internal, like, equal resource-based thing. Not resource-based, but you know what I'm saying. It's like an equal thing. Everybody has equal access to the pot. But on the outside, we have this business. So what I'm wondering is, could we form smaller communities? Could we have small-scale voluntary communism using cryptocurrency?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, part of why the transition was created to unify these intentional communities and other like-minded folks who don't live in intentional communities to start working together. And whether that's monetarily creating a new type of currency like that one town did that created the plenty for their entire town, or if it's some type of electronic currency, you know, that has yet to be discussed. But again, my organization, The Transition, operates off of egalitarianism and consensus. So if we were to arrive at that decision, it would be a group decision and not some evil dictator saying, hey, this is the game plan from now on.
Yeah, see, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so that's also why cryptocurrency sounds kind of cool, because it is like a voluntary thing. It's not like, you know, money itself where you are kind of forced into it, or you have to go invest money to not need money, kind of.
I think cryptocurrency is also great. Along the lines, you were saying there's a town that invented a currency called Plenty. That sounds fascinating.
And the art's beautiful as well.
But my brain it jumps to the fact that there's some people who will be like, there isn't plenty, and I need plenty more than your plenty. And that's where I'm, and maybe that is not happening, which that would be crazy, because I think in our society, there are people who want to have more plenty than your plenty. And that's what it seems like to me. Maybe I'm a pessimist in that regard. But the one thing about cryptocurrency is, if there was something set up in cryptocurrency where a bunch of people were getting together and sharing the cryptocurrency, it would be, you could set up a smart contract or a protocol within the cryptocurrency to make sure everybody's getting an even amount, or getting an even amount for what they're needing for their family or their home or their electricity or their, you know, food. So it's something that I think it can't be manipulated as a lot of systems can right now, you know, present day, using dollars and fiat.
And that's where I get into a little bit of a thing. It's like, why the fuck would we need currency if everybody's just getting equal shit anyway? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, then doesn't it become kind of unnecessary? Like, if we're just like, you get a coin, like, do we? Yeah. Oh, fucking Oprah. I don't know. You know, that's where I get all. That's where I still believe in, like, a resource based economy. That's what always drives me crazy. Like, see, cryptocurrency to me, it's still like upheld by the larger money system, right? It sort of. Am I misunderstanding something?
There are a couple of cryptocurrencies that are tied in with the banks and have a little bit of that feeling of what's going on right now with the U.S. dollar, or with other currencies,
So it's not all based off of U.S. dollar. It's like people like deciding that, like,
cryptocurrencies can be started from any country, from any computer. Anyone can start their own cryptocurrency. But once it's there, if it's on the blockchain and if it's open source, like, anybody can look at it, then everybody manages it. There's no bank, there's no overlord.
How does it build and become something where people can get actual money out of it, which is what people have been doing?
Because people put money into it, or energy into it, and then it has value. And the more people that believe in this or invest in it or change one currency into another because they like this currency at the time.
So that's what I'm saying. Isn't it backed by real money?
Yes, it can be. You can earn some of this cryptocurrency by posting information there.
No, but I'm saying, so even if, like, I, like, just don't invest in actual monetary value and somehow I end up getting money back, isn't it because somebody else put it in there?
Yeah. If the price of Bitcoin keeps going up and up, it's because more people are putting money in.
Yeah.
Or more people, you know, but the great thing is with cryptocurrency is it's still in its infancy. So right now, sometimes people, when they come out with a new coin and the coin has a concept, there are so many different coins of there are different cryptocurrencies for a lot of different uses. There's some, like, one's called Dentacoin. You can use it for dentists. One is, you know, one is for information on the cloud. One is for, you know, small transactions. So when people come out with new currencies, sometimes they airdrop to people who are on exchanges, and you can get free coins. So sometimes you don't work for the coins.
Maybe you work for the coins, but
most of the time you put money in, and if more people put money in and a lot of people like it, then the community gives it value.
Okay, but like if I use Dentcoin at my dentist, the dentist would like cash it in for cash.
Sure.
Right?
Or likely. Bitcoin or Litecoin or Ethereum, whatever coin.
Which they would eventually get cash from, or they would spend or they spend it at Subway or the very certain.
Sure, but there are a lot of places that are taking a lot of different cryptocurrencies, and I think that in the next 5 to 10 years, a lot of places will be taking different cryptocurrencies.
Who's taking cryptocurrency? You know, you said Subway.
Overstock.com, Subway. There are a bunch of restaurants in New York.
Really? I didn't even know that. Okay.
If you look on, you know, if you Google it, who's taking crypto?
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
More and more prevalent. And you know, so it might not ever have to be changed back into a dollar. It can be changed into something that also has value, or it might have value just in itself. And people just give that Dentacoin to somebody else, or, you know, it gets given to the next person, or it's a transfer of value every time it's moved.
See, that makes sense to me. I just want to let people know you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you for tuning in. This is our cryptocurrency versus abolishing currency episode. We're not necessarily a verse thing. We're just trying to talk about it. But something that it still drives me crazy about it is it's still like an imaginary thing to me. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, money, Federal Reserve, whatever, gold standard or not gold standard. What the fuck value does gold even have, really? You could use it in electronics.
You can't go and get a bar of gold and shave it off at 7-Eleven for a pack of gum, right? You don't do that. But
yeah.
Bitcoin is like the gold of cryptocurrency. So it's kind of the slower, the bigger, the heavy. So when you buy into cryptocurrency, you usually buy Bitcoin, and then you can buy other coins with Bitcoin.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is none of it's like real. And that's where I still fall onto. What I mean by that is like this resource-based economy idea of like water is water, food is food, material is material. And all this stuff is like very abstract to me. And this is where I wonder, like, yeah, I hear that should we go back to bartering where there's not like a set value on things? Where like, you know, because people say that with money, you know, if you decide that something is worth what you want to pay it, you're volunteering for that. So that's how much it actually is valued for. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's a weird value thing for me.
But the U.S. dollar isn't backed by gold. It's just
value
because everyone says it does.
Not anymore.
No, I know it's not backed by gold. But what I'm saying is, like, people, I said whether it's backed by gold, current gold standard or not. But even so, gold doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
It's pretty, and it does helps with electronics. Like, what I'm coming to, and it's making me very depressed, is like, are people just full of it? Like, Nicole, like, you and I are very similar. Do you ever just feel like people are kind of full of shit? Like, what do you think? Do you really think people are going to get on our fucking moneyless society, abolishing currency, sharing economy thing? At this point, I'm not really sure. And I know you said just ignore the people who don't want to do it and build your own. And I agree with that, because I believe in like sort of like individualism within the collective kind of shit. But like,
it's also a waste of human energy.
Is it a waste of human energy to try to get other people involved? Because the way I feel about this, it's just like, if
other people that disagree with you, yes, it is a waste of energy.
Okay, but is it a waste of energy, or is it a survival tactic in the sense that, like, so say you and I and a bunch of people like set up a farm somewhere and we do this whole, you know, we do the sharing economy thing internally. What are we going to do when a big fucking giant corporation opens up like a fucking Monsanto plant next door? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what are we going to do? Are we going to protest that? Are we going to protest that? Are they going to win because they have the money? Because a large percentage of people have volunteered to say that money is power.
Well, again, that's why the transition exists, to unify all the people all over the world who are of the same mind, so that when something like that happens, forces can be joined, resources can be put together, and that issue can be addressed collectively. But I think what the two of you were kind of talking in circles about but wasn't really stated is that whether we're talking Bitcoin, dollar,
talking
gold,
in circles,
plenty, or whatever, the only way any of those things work is because the two people in the transaction agree that it's going to work.
But isn't it larger than that? Isn't it larger than that in the sense that, like, if I don't fucking have money, most people are not going to sell me things because they know most people won't sell them things because of that. I don't think it's just a two-person thing.
Either way, whatever you're trading or whatever the transaction is, whether it's, you know, some food for a kiss or something to keep it PG, it's still agreed upon. So no matter what, even in a barter system, it's always an agreed upon value, like two goats for a cow, or, you know, if you want to sell your children.
But that, and then that's where, like, I don't actually like see that. And that's why people get all like intense about money versus barter, because like, what if I desperately, desperately need medical attention, right? And the doctor is like, oh, well, you have a cow, give me your cow. And I'm like, but that's like my only other way to trade is I have the milk. They're like, well, okay, it's give me that or die. And then it's like, oh, I can't find my way to another doctor right now to ask them. So then it's just like, okay, well, I have to. And I feel like that happens in capitalism, like in the way or with the currency, like where like, it's like, okay, well, I really need this room to stay in, or I'm going to fucking die on the street because it's fucking snowing and it's cold, but I really need to buy food right now. And it's like, my landlord's like, well, if you don't give me that money, then you can't stay here. So then I'm on the street with no food or apartment. You see what I'm saying? So it's not really like, I don't really agree that my apartment is as valuable as my landlord says it is. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's that's where it gets complicated. Like, I feel like people are kind of forced into these things sometimes with both barter and currency.
Nicole, with your back and forth, how when you said that even Bitcoin or plenty, it's still agreed upon. What is the alternative to that?
The alternative is to build relationships and a circle of people you can trust, where there needs to be no exchange tit for tat, and you guys support each other's needs.
That sounds beautiful.
It sounds beautiful. That's what I'm saying. But like, I like to believe that we're gonna see that. That's the thing. Like, I hear
but,
you.
But don't say it sounds beautiful like it doesn't exist. It exists all over the world. People do this in a family. But the problem is, we're not doing it. We're not expanding it beyond the family.
But some people don't do that in a family, and trying to make everybody think that's a bummer. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, trying to make everybody think that that's the way that the world should be run is also telling people how to think, when not everybody is on that wavelength, whether or not, you know, it would make a better world or not.
You talk to the people that are of like mind and not focus on the naysayers.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've done what you're talking about. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I've lived in places like that. But at the same time, like, I feel very disillusioned with that whole thing, honestly, since this Me Too thing in a big way, because I'm not to change the subject too much. I'm just saying, like, who the fuck can you really trust? The longer I've stuck with the activism, the less I trust people. Do you know what I'm saying? The more of these groups I've tried to start, the less I trust people. And I think that that's what a lot of people are afraid of. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't think they're wrong to be afraid. That's what I'm saying. Like, I know there are groups all over the place doing this, and I do believe that there is a better world that we could tap into. And I do really believe that. And if I don't believe in that, I'm going to die. But like, I
was going to say, along those same thought lines, that's another reason why I do like cryptocurrency, or at least the blockchain, because some of the other benefits that I think are, you know, when you say that you don't trust, the more that you know, you're in these situations where you do know that people can live harmoniously somewhat, the less you trust the bigger corporations, the people outside, the people running stuff. And I think that blockchains are a big thing with them. It's like, not only can you send, you know, money, let's say you're a person sending money across borders, but also it's like, for like, do you, when you send money to like the Red Cross or something like that, people are always worried about, where is it going? You know, is it really going to these people? So with a blockchain, you can send cryptocurrency and it's tracked
exactly
every step
of
the way to the food that goes to the child. You know, it's also, you can see where your food is coming from. Is it coming from places that are polluted? Is it going through the right channels? And even like with voting, like, you can't double vote on a blockchain. You can't be dead and vote because it's already in the system that you're dead. So it makes it a better playing field, at least in the interim of hopefully moving on to a society where people give a shit about each other.
Where at least it's more...
Right, in the interim, because in a way, that's just a Band-Aid on a head wound. And really, we need to be focusing on why money can't be spent the way it's supposed to when we give it to organizations like that. And it's because we live in a monetary system and we tell people that they need to pay money in order to exist.
Yeah, I agree with that. But something I want to say is we have about 10 more minutes left. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. So something that I want to tap into, you know, obviously there's like a big transition that needs to go on. Like we've been talking about, people need to be able to trust each other more. I think that people need to start trying to think about what would make them trust another person more. And I'm trying to turn myself into a person that I would want to trust. But what I want to know is, after all that's done, what do you think a society would look like, Nicole? Like, after, like, you know, because like I know you see people trusting relationships. So would it just be like what would a resource-based economy actually look like after if all the transition stuff has gone through?
Well, I wouldn't think my ideal is not exactly what the main group of people who are pro RBE resource-based economy, you know, think of. To me, that's a very sterile future, and I'm not too keen on the whole idea of computers running my life.
Yeah, but I'm saying do you believe in like the idea of resources representing representing themselves rather than money?
Correct. And people's basic needs being met. And I think in the future, if people were to do this transitional process, we would have a world that was supportive of people's passion, and that we'd actually have more things that are really necessary and needed created instead of bullshit, like bobbleheads.
But bobbleheads,
you know, accidental medication inventions like Viagra.
But see, the only thing that I'm thinking is like, I struggle with that as someone who like definitely has some communist-y things to say. Like, what's wrong with bobbleheads? They make people happy. What if that's someone's passion? Do you know what I'm saying? Like Viagra helps
old
people.
Well, cool. Let's 3D print it and not like make a huge warehouse where 100 people have to work to make them. And
exactly.
Then hope and pray that they sell.
I agree with you there. Or make it that people want it more than they actually do. Also, Viagra definitely helps the old folks. Like,
well, yeah.
Old folks need to come too. No, I'm serious. I read somewhere that like people in old folks homes are like getting STDs and shit because like they're educated
frisky.
About it and they're getting frisky. Anyway, we have like a couple more minutes left. Jody, is there anything you want to close with? Anything you have to say before we end this? Like, do you think that we could one day live in a moneyless society, or are you right now just going to like ride the crypto thing and see how it goes? And
I think that it's a beautiful image in my brain that the moneyless society and the everybody caring about everybody's passions. But I really, truly don't believe that that's what the majority of the people in power are going to put up with. And so even if we're trying on a small scale, it's great. It's wonderful. But it's going to be quite a while before I think that kind of communal living is going to work. But I do believe that crypto is a step in the right direction. And I believe that it's a more honest playing field. And there are a lot of things that are going to come around with the blockchain that are going to surprise people and make it a better place.
And Jody, you are going to be organized. You organize cryptocurrency workshops, or like what do you call them? Orientations?
I call it Crypto Coyote. Cryptocurrency basics. I just have like a few people over to my apartment. I get a study guide and I have a little projector and we talk about all the basics of cryptocurrency. It's pretty cool.
How can people get in touch with you about this?
I am on Facebook, Jody Maestas Carruthers or Jody Coyote. And my email is thejodycoyote, JODICOYOTE, thejodycoyote@gmail.com.
And Nicole, we just have a couple more minutes. Is there anything you want to close with? Just like a minute or talk about the transition?
Yeah. So I think the preconceived idea that money is a necessity is born out of laziness and a lack of creativity. And
no, I agree.
Money
so hard.
Like war is a crutch for the unevolved society. It's the path of least resistance because culturally we're unwilling to put in the work to operate without it. And if you're someone who actually wants to put in the work and make a better world and be moneyless, go to thetransition.org and start your action plan today.
All right. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you.
Crypto Coyote and Nicole, Nicole Bianfang, The Transition.
Thanks, Nicole.
I'll see you in September, probably, Nicole. I want to say thank you so much for being here. It's been a great discussion. This is a discussion we definitely need to continue in various ways. You can tune in next week to What Would Save the World. I will be having on a young communist who is just, and I'm going to talk to him about what communism is and what it isn't. And we're going to talk about breaking down Stalin apologism and maybe talk about how maybe we shouldn't even be calling it communism anymore because it's a terrible, terrible PR because you have people traumatized by it. Anyway. If you ever want to be on the show, reach out to me at TOOK@RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. Coming up, we got Tom Tenney. He's going to be doing Brooklyn Bandstand, which is one of our great shows on Radio Free Brooklyn. And I would like to add that none of the political opinions I have said on this show reflect the views of Radio Free Brooklyn. That's just me, your angry anarcho-matriarchal communist anarcho-conservative bitch. All right, you're going to play out with some Meatloaf right now. We're going to play out with Life is a Lemon and I Want My Money Back. Here we go. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Are shot.
What about your friends? They're defective.
All the parts.